Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 276, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. That little Daily Zeitgeist reminded me of, there's a new Downfall. I think that's the name of the movie that with the Hitler freakout. There's a new one of those with, like, you know those, like, clips that used to go viral where, like, Hitler's freaking out and then, like, people put different subtitles over it. It's not the real
vaguely
Hitler.
Vaguely familiar and definitely something the internet would make.
It was, like, very viral when I first came to the internet, so it was a long time ago. But there's a new one with Elon Musk that is a lot of fun. Anyways, this is still a production of iHeartRadio, and it's still a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, February 23rd, 2023, and my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. How the Fuck Car Get to Lambo? How much is this NFT? I'm underwater on my crypto. Hey, teacher, give those kids some books, please. That is courtesy of Lockeroni on the Discord with an assist from Pat. Yeah, give the kids some books so that they don't fall into the NFT trap. Although crypto, I mean, not all crypto is NFT, not all NFT is crypto, and there's some great investment opportunities still out there, as our co-host today is going to tell you about. We're thrilled to be joined in our second seat by a very talented writer, comedian, podcast host of the Bechdel Cast. She has the most anagrammable name in the United States. It's Caitlin Durante!
And I'm so upset that my name does not have an F in it, because otherwise I could conceivably something NFT my name would anagram to, but I'm missing that F.
Here, let's try this again. It's Caitlin F. Durante! Let's just pretend your middle name is Francine.
Close. Yeah. It's Marie. But anyway, I do have some new anagrams to share.
Amazing.
Courtesy of at Ian McKillen on Twitter.
One of the best.
I'll share a couple of my faves. Antacid Lie Runt.
Antacid Lie Runt.
Yeah. And I didn't check these, so I'm putting my faith that these are correct.
Okay.
Sometimes people will anagram my name and then there's, like, extra letters.
Yeah. This is Ian McKellen, and the actors lie for a living. So if I don't know if we can trust this, but
that's true.
Yeah, proceed. Yeah.
We've also got Tiara Cunt Lined.
T- Tiara cunt lined.
Lined? Okay. Yeah, like, oh, what is this jacket lined with? Oh, it's tiara cunt lined. And then I think my favorite, anal direct unit.
Anal direct unit. And those, they are moving those units on QVC. These anal direct units exactly. are flying off the shelves. Amazing. What a name. What a name.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Caitlin, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the creators of Britney's Gram, the podcast that, by analyzing Britney Spears' cryptic Instagram, helped spark the massive Free Britney movement. When she's not helping to make pop culture history, she also co-hosts the hilarious podcast Lady to Lady. Please welcome back to the show, Tess Parker!
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. My middle name is also Marie, Caitlin.
Hey, look at that.
Middle, it's a strong, sturdy middle name.
It's strong. It feels like your parents just gave us like the free space middle name.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, all right. We needed something to fill that field, I guess.
For a while there at the hospital, they were like a middle name, Marie, right? Where we could just go through Marie.
Yeah, that's just already on the form. And then it's like you can erase it and put something else if you want, but it defaults to Marie.
Yeah.
The boy's first name is going to be John or William. Mm-hmm. And then you just call him whatever the fuck you want, but it's either John or William. My name is John. And
perfect.
Yeah, sure. They were like, but how do we call him something that's not John? Obviously, we had to name him John, but how do we figure out something else to call him? Anyways, so lovely to have both of you Maries on the show today. Mm-hmm. Tess, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Getting ready for this. Yeah. We got a blizzard warning, I guess, in LA. Getting ready to snuggle up tonight. Yeah, I guess there's a
blizzard. Snow?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
There is a chill in the air. I think at higher altitudes, it's going to be snowing. And the question is how low. They're not expecting it to like be everywhere in LA, but I don't know. There's a bunch of
hills. If you live in the mountains.
I'll be taking to my blankets later tonight. I can tell you that much.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's weird. Weird times. All right, Tess, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Malcolm X's daughter, Ilyasa Shabazz, has filed notices stating her intention to sue the FBI, CIA, and NYPD for conspiring to assassinate her father, which I remember there was like this New York Times article when Muhammad Ayaziz and Khalil Islam were cleared, like two of the three people who were convicted of assassinating Malcolm X. They were cleared, and there's this New York Times article that was like, yeah, unfortunately, they didn't find any evidence of, like, police or government involvement. But then they like, listed all these details that were like, wait, what the fuck? So we're going to talk about that. Starbucks is dropping a new secret weapon on our asses, olive oil. We're going to get some olive-y coffee goodness in the coming years. It sounds like it would be like good in the right hands. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't believe Starbucks is the right hands necessarily. So new Starbucks concoction just dropped. New Russell Crowe Exorcist trailer just dropped. Mm. The Pope's Exorcist, which does contain the line, if you have a problem with me, take it up with my boss, the Pope. Which I will be quoting frequently in my day-to-day life. But
I thought it was going to be take it up with my boss, God.
Yeah. JC. No, we answer to the Pope. Pope
Same
answers
diff.
To JC. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Middleman. Really, the Pope is just a middleman.
Yeah. Just like always got his head on his hand on his head, like, oh, God. Going between these two assholes.
Can I talk to your manager, please?
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about people worrying about a mushroom apocalypse thanks to The Last of Us and what the likelihood is. All of that, plenty more. But first, Tess, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
The Roman's Wine Bar. I was searching for the address to the wine bar. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Roman's.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. Do you like bookstores?
Do I like? Yeah. Oh, I would never read a book. So.
Yeah. Okay. Then never mind.
Do they have children's books?
I only really read children's books. That's
they have
more
a whole
speed.
Picture book section.
Yeah. Next to the wine bar.
Next to the wine bar. So yeah, you get Cat in the Hat and then you get lit. Yeah. It's a really huge bookstore in Pasadena that like is like my favorite store in the whole world. And they have, in addition to books, they have like a really extensive stationery section. They sell Mont Blanc pens. They have really nice greeting cards, great little gifty things. Yeah, it rocks. And then inside of it, they put like a legit wine bar, which is just like my dream come true. And I'm going to see a play with a friend tonight. So I was
Googling
that wine bar because I want to get a glass of wine there. Yeah.
That is some culture. Wine.
A play
wine
at the
in a
theater?
Bookstore and then a play at the theater.
I kind of am that bitch. I think that, like, I feel like I am kind of a parody of Pasadena lady. That is kind of my life.
they've stuck a V on front of Romans.
Yeah.
Is how, okay. Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Super producer Victor, who is from Los Angeles and also just a fan of all things that start with V, chimed in. That helped clarify it because I was having a hell of a time on Google over here.
Yeah.
That's cool. Is the theater you're going to see the Blue Man Group?
Totally. I actually did work for the Blue Man Group in college.
Did you really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because at the time it was like the early aughts and you guys have to imagine, like when Blue Man Group first hit the scene, I was like, they are changing the game. And so, I want to be a part of it.
Next level. I mean, it is a piece of avant-garde theater that somehow became like a weird pop culture, like throwaway thing. But
yes.
Yeah. If you first happen upon Blue Man Group, you're like, whoa, what is happening?
Exactly. This is like it so really weird. Did blow your mind. Yeah.
Couldn't handle that on strong acid.
Fuck
it
no.
It might even blew your mind.
Yeah.
Hello.
It might have blew your mind.
It's so hard to not think of that Tobias Funke. I just blew myself.
It really, like, nothing nothing has so completely defined a thing than, like, his attempt to become a bloomin' onion. But when you hear people talk about the process of, like, trying out to be a bloomin', it's very intense and, like, the people who are in the group are like, I don't think he's blooming material. You know? Like they.
I mean, you have to have so many skills.
Percussion. Yeah. That alone, being a good drummer alone, I don't know how you do that.
Right.
And then, the show is all face tags. That's hard.
Is all what?
You know, like, or I call it a face tag, like when somebody tells a joke and like you tag it with a facial expression.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
big facial expressions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Blue Man, I was just listening to a podcast on stuff you should know about Max Headroom and like how, do you guys remember Max Headroom? Do you remember like that? Mm-hmm. He was like a Pepsi or a New Coke spokesperson. Like I remember it as like the height of just like trash culture when I was growing up. And that was another thing that like started as this like, you know, punk rock like art thing and then just like got gobbled up by capitalism and Blue Man. I mean, they're still doing it as theater though. It's not like they moved on to just be like starry spokespeople or something.
Yeah. And if they were, I don't think we could fault them. They had a good run.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a quarter of a century they've been blooming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad to hear that is the theater that you're attending.
Yeah. I'm actually going to see Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. But.
You never heard of Sunday in the Park with George?
No. I really named the only play that I'm familiar with.
I love how you're like, Blue Man Group, that's for hacks. That's the only, it's also the only piece of theater.
Yeah.
I know. It's a Sondheim musical.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. What is something you think is overrated?
Radical honesty. Like.
Okay.
I don't know that I think, I think that we can sometimes like put a lot of value on being like honest for the point of being on for the sake of being honest. And like, I'm fine with white lies. And like, I would honestly rather have someone be nice to me. I'd rather have you be nice. I don't like when people have a personality of like, I just tell it like it is and they're just mean.
Yeah. Just
I'm not
real.
Into it. I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
It's a lot of energy to be around those
people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your little experiment, I have to like just gird myself for like the most uncomfortable 30 minutes of my life, you know, like that.
Exactly.
It can be pretty selfish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like you're kind of pushing that on someone else without necessarily their consent or they're asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it in small doses, though.
Oh, me too.
I don't think I could pull it off as a lifestyle, like a 24-hour lifestyle. But having like this kind of came up when we were talking. There was that The Cut article about like new rules of etiquette, and one of them was like, don't tell people who you think they look like. And
that's a perfect example.
That is great advice for you. However, if you have a lookalike about me, I want to know what it is desperately, even though I'm not gonna like it. That is an amazing little glimpse into like how people see you when they first see you that like you'll never be able to get other than that way. And it's like uncomfortable and I don't want to know it all the time, but I also have no idea like how people perceive me. So like somebody who's practicing radical honesty, it's good to like get next to them for 15 minutes if you're in the mood, you know?
What is there one that sticks out in your mind of like a lookalike that you got that made you happy?
John Mayer made me happy.
That's a good one.
And then Walton Goggins made me unhappy. I got Walton Goggins.
Right. Sometimes it's a big ego boost and other times it's crushing. Yeah. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I don't want to be.
I changed my whole life once someone told me that I was Walton Goggins.
That's the thing. It's irreparable damage. And I think it's that thing of like, you remember the bad comments so much more than the good ones.
Yeah,
it's like one radically honest comparison to somebody you don't want to look like. And yeah, you're on a whole new life trajectory.
Walton Goggins is not a bad like looking guy or anything.
No.
It was just like it was a character that this person was like saying, oh my God, you so remind me of them. And like, you look exactly like them. And it just wasn't my favorite. So,
well, I don't see it. If that,
oh my God, thank you so much.
Okay. I need to Google Walter Goggins.
I bring this up every episode now, just so people can from like Vice Principals. And I think Justified.
Oh, okay. This guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I see.
Right. Good name though.
Great
Walton Goggins. Amazing name.
Yeah. Like such a Civil War soldier who like died on the battlefield. Like just incredible. Was born to die on the battlefield in like a Civil War battle. What is something you think is underrated, Tess?
I don't know if it's underrated. I mean, I'll use it for this category, but I've been watching this show on Netflix called Contra las Cuerdas, and it's a really good show. It's a Spanish language show about this single mom who just got out of jail. And in order to like impress her daughter, she gets into Lucha Vavoom.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a really well-written, fun show on Netflix.
Lucha
Against the
Vavoom
Ropes.
Lucha Vavoom is the
English title.
Lucha Vavoom is like the indie wrestling thing?
Yeah, or she becomes a luchador. I don't know if it's called Lucha Vavoom actually, but
okay.
It's just a really well-written, fun premise for a show. It's got like a fun mother-daughter story. Just a really fun kind of Bechdel test as fuck. Awesome female-driven show.
Sign me up.
There you go. And Caitlin, you recently saw the Ant-Man movie. How did that do on the? I don't want you to step on anything that's coming up on the back.
Well, no, I don't envision Jamie and I covering Ant-Man 3 anytime soon. But I mean, there are some women in the movie.
All right. Is it? This seems to be like the reviews are lower than average for your standard MCU movie. When I saw the trailer, I was like, they seem to be leaning into the thing I don't like about Marvel, which is like all the portals, just like portals on portals on portals. So many lasers.
Oof. Okay. Here. Well, I know we were just talking about radical honesty, which I feel fine doing to a movie that doesn't have feelings, although people made that movie and they do have feelings. That said, Ant-Man 3 is a turd. It's a big old turd. I'm not saying anything new here.
Like seems to be the consensus. Like, yeah.
Marvel is in its flop era right now because the last several I've seen have not been great. Thor: Love and Thunder, one of the worst movies I've seen in a while.
Really?
I said it. Yeah.
I didn't. I was just out after the Sam Raimi Doctor Strange one. I was like, this is.
That was also not great, but like compared to.
I love multiverse stuff. They were like, this is going to be a multiverse one. This is like our Everything Everywhere All at Once. And it was bad.
It was bad. I'm hoping. Well, Spider-Verse is not MCU. So no, I'm hoping that the new Spider-Verse movie is just as good as the first one, which is perfect. Perfect film. No notes.
So anyway. Good. You liked that movie so much that you got me to show it to my like 2-year-old, I think, at the time. Like, so young.
And how did
and
that
like
go
I
over?
Now know. Like he's fine. Yeah. He's fine, I think. But like it was definitely too early. And that like my 5-year-old who's obsessed with Spider-Man, I still haven't shown it to him because it just felt like it was a lot.
But sure. do you have a grace period with kids? Like, because you can cuss around babies for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think until their 13th birthday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, just let loose.
And then between 15 and 6,
that's when they get a mouth like, on them.
Yeah.
And then you can say fuck again.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, how to bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And And we're back. And yeah, so Malcolm X's daughter, Ilyasa Shabazz, filed notices stating her intention to sue the FBI, CIA, NYPD for conspiring to assassinate her father. There was a Netflix documentary that pointed to the fact that two of the people who were convicted of assassinating her father were not there that day. And so that they were eventually, like, the Innocence Project and a local DA, I believe, reopened the case. And, you know, Muhammad Ayaziz and Khalil Islam were cleared because there were just so much evidence that they, again, were not there that day.
Weren't present for the murder. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The key piece of evidence that seemingly inspired the new suit surfaced last year, and it is a letter written by a now-dead NYPD officer who confessed that he had been compelled by his supervisors at the New York Police Department to coax two members of Malcolm X's security team into committing crimes, meaning they were in jail during the event, allowing law enforcement agencies to murder Malcolm X, which, like, does sound like how police forces seem to operate.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Like, falsely accuse and imprison somebody so that, you know, like, again, the details aren't all there about, like, police officers walked up and, like, pulled the trigger. But it seemed like they were told this was going to happen. They didn't stop it. They arrested, according to, you know, this letter from an NYPD officer who was like, yeah, just wait till I'm dead and then you can release this. But they arrested parts of his security team that would make it difficult for him to be murdered. And then when it happened, this officer threatened to resign, but his supervisors told him that they would charge him with false crimes if he did, which, again, seems to be their MO in this case. So, yeah, it's a mess. I remember when the article came out about two of the three assassins being cleared due to, like, all of this evidence, the New York Times article just, like, really seeming weird to me because, like, so it contains the sentence, nor did it uncover a police or government conspiracy to murder him. But then later it says, Mr. Vance's reinvestigation conducted with the Innocence Project and the office of David Chanese, a civil rights lawyer, contended with serious obstacles. Many of those involved in the murder case, including witnesses, investigators, and trial lawyers, as well as other potential suspects, died long ago. Key documents were lost to time, and physical evidence, such as murder weapons, were no longer available to be tested, which, again, like, just... That's super convenient for the police to lose all that shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They are the custodians of that evidence. But
right, like lost to time. Like, somebody in time lost them?
It's just lost to time. we're going to go ahead and blame time on this one, Tess.
Well, you know, as what happens in Marvel movies, a portal opens up and it just and then the evidence gets lost in the space-time continuum and... Yeah, I know it happens.
And then, so on top of all this shit, there's this part of the New York Times article that's, like, buried down, you know, 5-6 paragraphs down. Prosecutors' notes indicate they failed to disclose the presence of undercover officers in the ballroom at the time of the shooting. And police department files revealed that a reporter for the New York Daily News received a call the morning of the shooting indicating Malcolm X would be murdered. So there was somebody who was like, hey, this is happening. They had undercover officers there in the ballroom and managed to, like, convict two people who weren't even there somehow and, like, didn't disclose that they were present for it.
Like, I don't know a lot about how undercover officerism works, but you're an undercover officer. You're in a ballroom. Somebody dies. Don't you then, like, out yourself as a police and start investigating the situation right away?
Right.
If you're surprised.
Unless... you're the murderer.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very suspicious. I'm glad that she's bringing this case. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see where it leads. Probably not in the New York Times, at least not until there's, like, irrefutable reporting. Mm-hmm. But so that's, I think, I don't know, hopeful news that people will continue to, like, get to the bottom of this shit.
May justice be served.
Yeah.
In speaking of served, Starbucks has a new secret weapon.
Wow.
And it's that was olive
the
oil.
Best transition.
That was a serve, honestly.
Yeah,
talking
about justice being served in the assassination of Malcolm X and then turning it over to Starbucks. Yeah, that's great.
It was a transition as smooth as olive oil.
As olive oil blended into your coffee, which is apparently a thing that Howard Schultz saw some Italian people doing in Italy and was like, that, we're going to do that. And it's my idea, essentially. Supposedly, the olive oil creates a velvety, smooth, rich texture with a buttery, round flavors imparted by the olive oil, perfectly pairing with the soft, chocolatey notes of the coffee. I don't know which coffee they're talking about there because I've not tasted many soft chocolatey notes in Starbucks coffee. Rarely soft.
Hard cigarette butt would be my favorite.
Yeah, hard burnt ass cigarette butt. Maybe like have you ever accidentally eaten like just the darkest unsweetened chocolate that like you can't, like your mouth just revolts and like just starts spitting it out like that? I can see that maybe a little bit, but I don't think of them as soft chocolatey notes by any stretch.
Well,
maybe they're talking about the Frappuccino.
The
mocha.
They're soft and chocolatey when you put just a shitload of chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put a whole,
whole pumps
cake
of chocolate syrup.
Soft.
Yes. So Howard Schultz, visionary, is in his third term as the CEO of Starbucks. This is the thing that like these CEOs who like luck into having great success and then, you know, leave and people start treating them like human beings again. And then they're like, actually, the person who I picked to succeed me is a maniac and I'm going to come in and take that job back over. So he's in his third spell as the CEO. But we need him because, as he said, this is a transformational moment for the company, in which they will bring together an alchemy of nature's finest ingredients.
I mean, that's poetry.
Yeah,
an alchemy of nature's finest ingredients. Here's what I will say. And let me preface this by saying that I don't know anything about cooking or making food or anything that you can consume. I'm famously very, very bad at it. But I am really good at eating food and enjoying...
One of the best. Yeah.
Thank you. And enjoying tasty food. I don't see how the flavor of olive oil could go... I feel like it wouldn't complement the soft chocolatey notes of coffee.
Right, like and of a good coffee.
And maybe I'm very wrong about this.
I'm here for it. I'm going to be honest. I'm here for it. Like, if I see olive oil in like a dessert at a restaurant, I'm always going to choose that dessert. Like, I actually love, I had a gelato in Italy that was like lemon, olive oil, basil, and I still think about it.
Oh my God. Your bougie bona fides right now are just like spiking.
I'm telling you, I'm sorry, this is who I am. But like,
I love an olive oil dessert.
I love an olive oil dessert.
I consumed one in Italy, FYI.
I didn't even know this was an option for drinks, for desserts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think because it's not like salty, but it kind of gives you that like savory note that you want with like a little something sweet. And and when that bulletproof coffee trend happened, I love trendy stuff. So I tried that for a while. And like the butter and coffee combo, I kind of dug. Like a little bit of fat in your coffee is kind of nice.
Yeah. Milk shouldn't be the only fat that we're allowed to consume in our coffee.
Yeah.
We should be putting ice cream also.
Yes. Thank you.
Finally, someone's at it. Yeah.
I actually have done that where I didn't have any, because I'm a big old baby. Also, I think everyone's just learning that I am actually really bad at eating food and I have horrible taste. But I love the like, whatever brand, like Coffee Mate, like liquid non-dairy coffee creamers that are just like so sweet. And it's like not even real. It's like chemicals made in a lab. But that's how I have to drink my coffee, adding so much of that. But I didn't have any of that one time. But I did have vanilla ice cream. So I just added a bunch of vanilla ice cream to my coffee.
How was it?
How'd it go?
And it was brave of me. Thank you so much.
That is brave of you.
That is.
hero.
So many temperatures in one cup?
I was, yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, was it good?
No, it didn't turn out well.
It's not as good as the Coffee Mate is just like molecularly structured to the second like a drop like enters the coffee, it immediately mixes at the perfect rate, you know?
Exactly.
It's beautiful. It's art. Those,
that and climate change, like we really have to trust the scientists.
Yeah. I don't know. I lost my nerve on Coffee Mate. I was drinking so much Coffee Mate for a long time. And then I was just like, this is probably bad for me
in
some way.
My insides are so fucked up right now.
Oh my God.
I can't stop.
My teeth started falling out. Yeah. It is gross.
I like my coffee black, which is why I'm like even entertaining the notion of the olive oil thing. Cause that's about as like sweet as I'll take it. But my dad, Caitlin, used to scramble eggs.
Your dad's name is Caitlin? Sorry.
Yeah, my dad, Caitlin, he used to scramble that Coffee Mate stuff in with our eggs, which sounds really fucking gross, but it's actually pretty, because you know how it tastes good when you get a little bit of maple syrup on your eggs?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay.
It's like
okay.
That.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it like turned them into like a cloudy, like cotton candy style, you know, just because there's like so much scientific engineering in that like you just like heat that and suddenly it turns into the alien spaceship from Nope. It's just like this beautiful like yeah, wow, that's I won't try that, but I admire your dad Caitlin's bravery.
Yeah, so shout out to my dad Caitlin.
It's tough to tell if it's the ages. Your dad's name is Caitlin, or if you have multiple Caitlins in your life, and there's the dad Caitlin and then the other Caitlins, based on how you were saying it. But
can it be both?
Yeah, I mean, this is based on an actual Italian trend that Howard Schultz saw, and it probably can be good. You know, it's just this doesn't seem to be the coffee.
No, I think you're right, though. Like, you're right. Starbucks are not the right hands for this. Like, I would trust it at Intelligentsia. Even though I do think Intelligentsia is very overrated, I would trust olive oil coffee more in their hands.
Yeah. Sure.
Intelligentsia seems about right for you. Just based on what we've heard.
I said it's overrated!
That's not, like, I admire, like, the consistency and specificity of your tastes.
When is Coffee Bean gonna step up their game and start putting, I don't know,
olive oil?
No one ever talks about Coffee Bean is what I'm saying. Everyone's like, oh, Starbucks this, Starbucks that.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I feel like Coffee Bean, because I think they peaked in 2006. Like every celebrity was always getting Coffee Bean in 2006.
Mm. Yeah.
And then they fell into a portal. Duncan took over.
Mm, yeah.
That's what happened.
God bless Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck.
I'm living for that, by the way. I'm so here for all of that partnership.
Yeah. It's cute.
It is. I kind of fell off Ben Affleck for a minute until he got back together with J-Lo and Duncan.
Oh, man.
He should not fight his roots.
Yeah. But they with regards to the, you know, exchange of ideas between Starbucks and Italy as a nation, like Starbucks takes their ideas. Italy does not want to take any of Starbucks. Mm. They flopped big time over there. Mm. So anyways.
I can't imagine. Yeah. Why would you ever go to Starbucks in Italy?
Right. It's truly like you just want to see all of the American tourists in Italy. You go to the Starbucks. But yeah, it's like shocking to see a Starbucks in another country, I feel like. All right. Russell Crowe is the Pope's exorcist. So prepare.
It's about time.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thank goodness.
So this is the trailer dropped. I recommend... Yeah, I mean, I actually don't. Like, you could totally miss this. I will tell you the important thing is that he does say, if you have a problem with me, take it up with my boss, the Pope. But there's also, so like our writer JM kind of did a dive into this because this is based on a real character. As like all the exorcism movies are like this based on actual events in the spookiest year, 1987. And this person is like a real, like he created the NBA of exorcists, like, and, you know.
They've got like a team?
Yeah, what's the NBA?
It's like the official league of, let me see if I can find the name of it. But like, he's like, you got to be a certified exorcist.
The League of Extraordinary Exorcists.
Yes, exactly. But so in addition to being like Pope John Paul II's number one bottom bitch exorcist, he is also like a right-wing political commentator or like cultural commentator. The movie portrays him as like a superhero battling demon children, but in real life, he has blasted the evils of nightclubs, Harry Potter, and yoga, which he claims yoga. I'll read some direct quotes for you from this man. Practicing yoga brings evil, as does reading Harry Potter. They may both seem innocuous, but they both deal with magic, and that leads to evil. Yoga is the devil's work. You think you are doing it for stretching your mind and body, but it leads to Hinduism. All these oriental religions are based on the false belief of reincarnation. And then,
oh my goodness.
In Harry Potter, the devil is at work in a cunning and crafty way. He is using his extraordinary powers of magic and evil. And then this is my favorite. My advice to young people would be to watch out for nightclubs because the path is always the same. Alcohol, sex, drugs, and satanic sects. So
sex and sects.
Sex sects. The path is, that path is always the same.
It's I feel shorthanded because I've been to a nightclub.
I've done three of those things and never got invited to the satanic sect.
Seriously, I've done all of these things.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Nothing. Always. Can I just say, same. So his name is Father Gabriel Amorth, which sounds to me, you know, in like exorcism movies where someone's being possessed and then like the demon or the devil is speaking through the body that they're possessing and they're like, like, Jessica isn't here anymore. This is Amorth. That sounds like his name sounds like a demon's name.
There is no Jessica, only Amorth. If you would like to leave a message for Jessica, though, just let me know. I can tell her. Amorth. Yeah, Amorth is definitely like the name of one of the like Dementors from Harry Potter. Like I think that's why his feelings were hurt by Harry Potter. Is it just feels like the most evil name possible. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Maybe that's the M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end, though, is that they need an exorcist for the exorcist.
Tess? Did you see the trailer? Because that seems to be what's at stake. They're like, if the Pope's exorcist gets possessed by the devil, Western civilization falls type shit. So,
wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what if he's possessed and that's why he's so good at exorcisms, because he's like a demon talking to other demons.
Oh. Yeah. He's like, I need you all to leave the room. It's while like I perform this exorcism.
Just like that, like Angel or Blade, like they're like vampires or part vampires, and that's why they're so good at like their job. They know the MO.
Takes one of to the know people. One.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey.
Cop and criminal are one and the same.
It's oof, yeah,
it all goes back. The cops are evil.
That's right. ACAB includes the Pope's exorcist.
Exactly. I also love how like there's just rampant, not love, but like there's rampant pedophilia going on in this organization for decades, and they think Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Then there's progressive people that have issues with the Harry Potter. It reminds me of that thing of like, yeah, we all agree the government's messed up. Which way are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. They have to make up satanic sects in order to distract from what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Pope's exorcist is coming to a theater near you. We'll probably be seen by way too many
I'm
people.
Going.
Yeah.
I'm going to go? AMC.
Are we going to have to like be anti-horror movie podcast now? I don't want to, but like, I think Jamie one time was on here and was talking about the Conjuring movies being based on like just the worst humans.
Yes.
They're like really, yeah, creepy.
Yeah, she knows more about it than I do. But yeah, they're bad.
It's always bad, but.
I mean, it makes sense though. Like, have you guys met anyone that like you would think dabbles in exorcism or Conjuring?
Hmm. Yeah, my best friend.
Yeah?
I mean, dabbles? We all dabble a little
bit. That's true.
Right?
We're all kind of part-time exorcists.
Yeah.
I've dabbled in the satanic sects. I haven't.
But like to throw yourself into it as a career.
Yeah, exactly.
I dabble in satanic sex. S-E-X.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, 6669.
It's all in together, you know? It's just a big stew of good times. I'm just saying that if I make that my full-time thing, do I stop loving it, you know? It's
right.
Like,
right.
Once it becomes your job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about mushrooms.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and mushrooms are having a bit of a moan, I would say, thanks to The Last of Us, thanks to psilocybin being kind of slightly less criminalized than it used to be, but mainly, I'd say, because of The Last of Us. There's also a Mario movie coming, although it doesn't seem like it leans that hard into the mushroom of it all.
Missed opportunity.
I know, exactly. Are you guys watching The Last of Us?
Not yet.
I'm 2 episodes in. And then the HBO Max app just broke on me.
Really?
I dared to try and download the other episodes because I had to be on a flight. And yeah. they were like, well, that failed. And now your app is broken and you can never watch those episodes ever again.
Oh,
and
my God.
I hear episode 3 is good. I enjoyed the first two quite a bit. And particularly the thing that seems to have everybody interested, at least when it comes to like real world implications. And that is like the opening of the show has this like scientific debate happening on a TV show back when TV was like boring as fuck. And they just had like three scientists on being like, like plagues are bad, huh? And the scientists are like, yeah, plagues are bad. And then the third one's like, actually, I think a fungal pandemic would be the worst one. And it's kind of convincing. It's pretty fun. And then like the whole thing is based on that scenario coming true in 2003. And so I think because they based it on that, and then there's the actual footage from planet Earth of an ant being taken over by this fungus that like turns you into an automaton. People are understandably a little bit freaked out, but the video game specifically took its inspiration from that BBC clip and hungover high school teacher emergency kit Planet Earth, because there's a segment in which the fungus like takes over not just the mind of an ant, but like it's like puppeting its body to get to the top of a tree to then like spit the itself all over like the other ant colony. And that's
talk
just, like,
about
how the
possession.
Yeah.
Those ants need exorcisms.
Yes.
I don't know why I said that so weird. They need an exorcist.
Yes. And that there is a little global warming climate change aspect of it, because the thing that has made it possible for the fungus is that the planet has warmed a few degrees, because like that the current issue with a fungal pandemic would be that our bodies are too warm for the fungus. And they're like, but if the planet gets warmer, then it might learn how to live
how to
in
adapt.
Warmer climates. And then we're all fucked.
So how much of this is grounded in truth, or is all this being extrapolated from the zombie ant?
I think it's all being extrapolated from the zombie ant.
Okay.
And scientists are like, that's kind of a big leap from insects to humans. Like, our bodies are pretty difficult to take over. They're
unless
exactly
you've absolutely messed your body up with drinking too much coffee, mate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm a prime candidate to have my body just completely possessed by fungus.
Yeah. One of the first like viral articles we did at Cracked that like a lot of people liked, I think it was actually Jason Pargin wrote the whole thing, was like 5 plausible zombie apocalypse scenarios. And one of them was about like I think it's a fungus, but it's like something that takes over the mind of mice and like makes them like the smell of cat urine, so that the mice then like start going towards cats. Which, because I don't know if it's that what the parasite likes to reproduce in cat intestines. So like takes over the mind of the mouse or the rat to like, and mice and rats are not that far from us. So I'm just saying,
I mean,
I have some notes, yeah. The Last of
so
Us.
So wait, this parasite tricks the mice into liking the smell of cat urine so that it goes to be near cats, and then the cats eat the mice so that the parasite reproduces in the intestines of the,
that's like kind of convoluted for a movie. Like if it was in a movie, you'd be like, wait, what? Like that's like 3 steps too complicated.
That's too much.
Why wouldn't it just learn to like get into cat food? But no,
it needs a middleman. It all comes back to the middleman.
That's the thing. You got to get the middleman.
Cat food doesn't have eyes and legs, so that mice wants to just jump down the cat's throat and is doing all the work for it.
Yeah.
But the degree to which it's convoluted does give me respect for and fear of fungus. Because,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Like, you don't look at fungus as something that can think, like, multiple steps ahead. My dog can't think multiple steps ahead.
Yes. Yeah.
This fungus is playing chess.
Exactly.
Wow.
I don't think the Toxoplasmosis gondii is the thing I'm talking about. It's an infectious disease, but I don't think it is a fungus, because it can already like get in the bodies of like warm-blooded mammals.
Isn't that why pregnant people have to stay away from cat litter?
So it also like has some noticeable effects on humans, but it's like not statistically significant. But it there has been speculation that it like changes human behavior slightly. So we might all be just doing the bidding of this one parasite. Like I think people who have it, high concentrations of it in their bloodstream, tend to have more cats, which of course is like, that's a correlation causation thing. But
yeah,
you know, who knows which one came first, but that would be absolutely wild if it was like brainwashing us into being like, cats, more cats, love me. They are my children.
I mean, if so, I'm already there.
Yeah. You know,
so it worked. I mean, it worked on me.
And happy, it leads to happiness. And
that's the thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a parasite that leads to snuggling. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like there are other parasites that we should be more worried about, because the other thing is that, like, even the fungal parasite that, like, has the ant video clip that everybody's like seen. And does the show use that, or did I just like look it up on YouTube?
I think you just, I don't remember seeing it on the show. Okay. Yeah.
That's what Ant-Man should have been about. That's
Thank true. You.
Yes.
Yes.
Ant-Man exactly. 3 Quantumania, more like Ant-Man 3 gets Ant. Devoured by yeah. a fungus.
Ant brain mania.
Exactly.
Just opens his mouth and ants are just like swarming out. But yeah, like the ants don't turn into like rage monsters. It like the humans in The Last of Us, they're just like climb to a high tree branch to die alone and spread their spores everywhere. So there's like probably less entertaining ways to that a fungal thing would probably get us. And like it does, like fungal infections happen, like kill millions of people every year. So it's not like we're immune to it. It's just it's probably not going to like turn into a thing where people are running around biting one another, because that's also just like maybe not as effective.
I do think, like, after seeing how humanity responded to the COVID epidemic pandemic, we're fucked. Like, right. I think we're totally fucked. Like, no matter what it is, we're completely screwed.
Yeah. The thing, I mean, the show, the episodes I've seen of it so far seem like it's just a metaphor for, like, climate disaster. Like everybody like turns on each other, and like there's a shortage of supplies, and people become murderous, and you know, like the main characters that we see die, like at least one of them is like killed by the police just for being like in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. Mm-hmm. So like I do feel like all of these things are dealing with our impending, like the part of our brain that is allowed to acknowledge that like things are going in a really dark direction that is going to potentially cause the civilization as we know it to dissolve. I think there's we've always got a chance, you know. I think there's a chance, hopefully this new generation, which they must love it when we say yeah, but they got it.
Well, they said that about us, and you're welcome, world.
Well, what have
they
we
said
done?
That about us? But then they didn't let anyone in Gen Z like ever have any power.
No,
they're just like, nah, we're gonna hang on to this for a little while, actually, basically until you can peel the presidency out of our cold, dead hands. We will be president. Thank you. So one of the points that the scientist makes in that first scene is like a lot of our most like mind-altering substances start with fungus, like ergot, psilocybin, even LSD. I didn't realize this, but LSD like comes from a fungus, like in its earliest form, which is just, I think this has to take over the top spot of like show that you should not start watching after you just took a psychedelic.
Oh, yeah.
Be like really hard to take in. It would be a tough one to get past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even worse than Walking Dead, really, because there's no fungal element in Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not like the mushrooms are taking over your mind and telling you to do their bidding. It's also like, I guess fungi are closer to animals than plants. Which,
really?
Oh.
That is upsetting. Also, we inhale fungal spores with every breath we take. Ugh. So.
And that also sounds like poetry.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Okay, well, I guess I'll stop breathing.
Yeah. No more coffee, exactly. No more breathing.
Yeah. But anyways, with Mario movie coming along, Last of Us taking over the zeitgeist, psilocybin on the rise, I just, mushrooms are having a moan and we should all bow down to our new overlords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the show stays good, Tess? You're happy?
Yeah, I'm
with
only on episode. Yeah, it's been consistently amazing throughout. Episode 3, like I'm sure you already know, prepare yourself for like an emotional.
Hilarious, right?
Devastating. So funny. Yeah. You're going to, it's a romp in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pick me up.
Super producer Becca is asking if we think that's why mushrooms are often used as meat substitutes in cooking. I think that's probably right. Oh. And like, I've had that thought before, like when eating mushrooms, that like this feels like very savory and meaty in some ways.
Because it's true. Because it kind of is. Tricking our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm meat. Can't you tell?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm into it. I feel like I'm devouring a soul. And that's what consumption is all about for me, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, Tess, such a pleasure having you on the show.
So much fun. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you?
At Testify Barker is my handle and everything. So it's Testify with two S's. My website is tessbarker.com. You can listen to my podcast, Lady to Lady, every Wednesdays, wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing.
How's that?
So good. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I chose, this is not a tweet, but the LA Public Libraries are releasing special edition P22 library cards
cool.
I saw today on Twitter. I just thought I would share because I think that's really cool. They have for our non-LA listeners, P22 is the mountain lion that lived in Griffith Park that died recently. And so they're releasing library cards that have his picture on them.
Amazing.
I live in LA and I needed that reminder of what P22.
Yeah.
RIP.
Yeah.
RIP22.
Yeah.
Caitlin, pleasure having you these past couple of days on the show.
Thanks.
Where can people find you? And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
There sure is. I've been enjoying the re-release of Titanic in movie theaters.
Have you gone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I made it an event.
Nice.
I was like, treat this as though it's my wedding day. I want all my friends to come and bring me gifts if you want.
Yeah. I said no gifts. Yeah.
I did not say that.
Give
I said,
me, give me, give
you
me,
can me. Give me gifts.
Yes. I said gifts, and... motherfucker. Please.
And it was great. I loved it. And I might go again before it leaves theaters. And then you can follow me on social media at Caitlin Durante, and you can listen to my podcast that I co-host with Jamie Loftus called The Bechdelcast, and we discuss movies through an intersectional feminist lens.
There you go. Let's see. A tweet I've been enjoying. It's a good piece of history. Nick Hofton, 40% German. Congratulations. At 40% German tweeted, in 1997, Walmart tried to enter the German market and became a case study in failure. My favorite story from this period was that staff were trained to be friendly to customers, which freaked out some shoppers, but made others think staff were hitting on them. I love when stories of when Russia opened up to, you know, American consumerism and they were like, what do you mean we're supposed to smile at people and just no understanding of this unnatural state of existence where you just and then you pretend to be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. Just pretend, just force it in there, just cram that smile down their throats. And
that's the other end of the spectrum of radical honesty.
Yeah.
Radical exactly. Niceness.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't like that either. I don't, you gotta be in the middle. Radical nothing.
Radical friendliness.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh my God. How are you? Yeah. And that just completely destabilizes any like gravitational center of like your entire psychic makeup as a civilization. But it's good. It's good because it's good for selling hoses or whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, what song do you think people might enjoy on this February 23rd?
This track sounds like what would happen if a UK grime artist got a hold of an instrumental that was supposed to go to like an underground Bay Area hip hop group from two decades ago. Ooh. This track is called No Gimmicks by Suspect OTB. It's one of my sister's favorite songs. Like as soon as I played it for her, it's a party starter that's meant to be banged out of the window of your car, like while you're rolling up the street. It's amazing. So you can find this song in the footnotes. That's No Gimmicks by Suspect OTB.
No Gimmicks is a great, great name for like a 90s rap song, I feel like.
Yeah, or like a 90s wrestler to walk out to, you know?
Yeah.
Like a whole, yeah. It has those vibes for sure.
Also, Suspect OTB. I don't know if that's referenced to off-track betting, but that just like a suspect like betting establishment. If you've ever been in OTB, there are many that are suspect, so to be a specifically suspect OTB is
shady, man. Yeah, it works on many levels.
It does. All right, well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.